Now, this service is going to flow slightly differently to a regular Sunday morning service here in Sawston Free Church. We're going to have moments where we're going to reflect or have words of thought throughout and weaved through the service. So there will not be one set sermon, but the sermon will be throughout the service. The first reflection and thought is titled, Christ has given his church a mission. Last week, we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord. And now, we can celebrate and rejoice that God has put death to death. Praise the Lord that death has lost its sting, and we have a new hope to spend eternity with our Lord and Savior. On the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." In a way, it's like a master reset on your computer or handheld device. We no longer have to keep the ceremonial laws of sacrificing animals because we have one final sacrifice, Jesus, once and for all. But as is often true in life, when one chapter closes, another begins. Today we meet the disciples while they still have a price tag on their heads. They have met the risen Lord. They are elated. The promise has come true. But at the end of his gospel, the apostle Matthew records a mission that God gives to his disciples. We read Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This command we call the Great Commission is for all Christians. It was not only for the disciples there that morning, but also for those who would later believe in the good news. That includes you. The idea may leave you trembling in fear, sharing what I believe with other people. But God made a promise that we will not do this alone. God would be with us. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel of Luke, we read in more detail about the task, the mission that the early church were given, but also of Christ's promise of supernatural assistance through the Holy Spirit. Luke 24, verses 46 to 49 record. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry, wait, in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And Luke records this again in the book of Acts. "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come in together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Starting from Jerusalem, which was the epicenter of the Easter message and events, the gospel was to spread from Samaria through Philip into the Gentile world through Peter and throughout the Roman Empire through Paul. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, did not leave us alone. God is still with us in the Holy Spirit. God is with us right now. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." John 20. In the Gospel of Luke, we read, "Then he said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and the third day, that he, for repentance and remission of sin, should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Again, we read Luke 24. These passages both speak of Jesus giving the Great Commission, but they also speak of how important this mission was, how imperative it was for God, that he himself promised that he would be here to help us to pass on the message. Jesus was asking the disciples to be willing. To be willing to open their hearts as God was willing to open his arms to the world. To be willing to take the risk to follow his calling and to lay down their lives for the good news. In helping the early Christians to spread the good news, the Holy Spirit also helped the early Christians to have fellowship with one another and fellowship with God. What we have looked at in our Lent Bible studies and what the Greek called koinonia. After the events of Easter, the disciples were a wanted group and there was a price tag on their heads. Both the Roman Empire and the Jewish leaders wanted to get rid of them. Yet, somehow, in the face of persecution, this group was not only surviving, they were thriving. Peter, the leader. We look at Peter, who along with the other disciples was filled with the Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost. Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times because he was afraid, had changed to the point that he was bold enough to preach a powerful sermon to thousands of people in the city of Jerusalem. This man who denied Jesus would be led by the Holy Spirit to a Gentile household to share the message with those who were considered by the Jews unclean. This man who denied Jesus would risk everything to go to the Roman centurion named Cornelius, a person who could have arrested Jesus and arrested Peter. Yet Peter felt the message of Jesus was so important to cross the cultural and religious prejudices, to teach and to let the people know what he believed. Philip, the evangelist. We look at Philip, who was recognized for his faith and wisdom, and was chosen to be one of the seven men to ensure the practical pastoral care in the early church. In other words, Philip volunteered to serve lunch. Yet when the persecution began, he would lead the charge in spreading the good news throughout the empire. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, he performed miracles of deliverance and healing, later going on to lead an Ethiopian government official, the eunuch, to faith. And Paul, the missionary. We look at Paul. You already know the story. A Pharisee of Pharisees and a Jew of Jews. He hated the gospel and zealously persecuted the early Christians. But he had a dramatic encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, followed by a healing and a prophecy that led him to believe and be baptized, going to spread the gospel to the whole world, far and wide, with his letters. What do these messages tell us? Are these fairy tales of a wayward bygone time that means nothing for us today? I submit to you, they are history that tell us of what people can do and how people can change when they meet Christ and when they hear the good news. Our message is important. The early church were convicted that Jesus Christ was indeed the Redeemer, and they believed that it was truly good news, the best news, and that everybody should hear it. Now you may be wondering, where do I fit in this story? What does it mean for me sitting here right now in Sawston Free Church? This is where the message gets tough. The mission is just as impossible for us today without the Holy Spirit as it was for those first century Jews. In Acts 2, Peter wrote that Jesus would be the one who would go to those Jews who were gathered at that time. His message would spread to their children and grandchildren, and it would go on to the Gentile world. Yet he said at the end, verse 39 of Acts 2, that the message would go to as many as the Lord our God will call. And that is you. And that is everybody else. God has given us a mission, the good news, the gospel, and has promised that he would help us. And what is this good news? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. But do we believe it? Many people fear that their life means nothing, that there is no value, that they are worthless. And we have a message that says, no, you are loved, you are valued, and God cares. Maybe sitting here this morning, you feel like you're at the edge. That you feel like God does not love you. That life is not worth living. And I'm here to say that God is able and God is willing. And that God does love you. God is the vine. We are the branches. And without Him, we feel like there is nothing worth living for. But if we connect to Him and live abiding in Him, life has value and meaning. And this is truly good news.